Welcome to the Got Stocks podcast, powered by IBN. This original audio production delivers market and sector insights, as well as exclusive interviews with innovative executives shaping the future in fast-moving industries, and may feature a client partner of IBN or one of the 60-plus investor-focused brands within IBN's dynamic brand portfolio. As a multifaceted financial news and publishing company, IBN leverages its extensive distribution network, utilizing multiple proprietary corporate communication tools to introduce both public and private companies to a vast and diverse audience of investors, consumers, influencers, journalists, and other targeted segments of the public. IBN may have received compensation to produce this audio content. Please be sure to read IBN's entire disclaimers for full disclosures. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the next revelatory episode of IBN's Got Stocks podcast.
Thank you all for joining us for our latest podcast episode with Jason Fishman. He is the co-founder and CEO of Digital Niche Agency, otherwise known as DNA. Jason, we've run into each other quite a bit over the years at various conferences and also shared a couple of stages.
That's right. That's right, Jonathan. It's always a pleasure to see you at conferences. I know we've been on panels together. I remember Vegas, Miami, Boston, Atlantic City, all over at this point. So it's a pleasure to be on this digital format with you. Can't forget you've been a guest on my podcast, which has received great responses as well, too. So it's a privilege to be here.
Awesome. Well, we've definitely enjoyed working together. But your reputation precedes yourself. You know, you've completed hundreds of fundraising campaigns and raised nine figures of capital. So you've become well-known for your marketing strategies. Can you tell us just a little bit more about your background?
Absolutely. So I started as a growth marketer and started a firm back in 2014. DNA stands for Digital Niche Agency. Had a long stint in ad tech as part of my growth marketing career before this, and wanted to work with startup to mid-market organizations versus just the Fortune 500s that I had been a part of, where I was one of many other vendors. We were directly part of our clients' growth in those early stages and through today. And we were looking at all different types of growth metrics back then, from B2B, marketing to businesses, marketing to consumers, bringing on users. And working with early stage to mid-market organizations, I found a commonality of fundraising. There was always some part of the discussion that included capital raise. And I was then introduced to 506C Reg D fundraising, which allowed for solicitation, allowed for me to market, use my advertising background, content marketing or outreach programs that we were doing for clients, and apply it towards investors. So business to investor marketing became our focus at that point. The light bulb came off. Suddenly we were able to address this obstacle that each group was running into. I was able to tap into some different data partnerships that I had in the ad tech world to reach high net worth, high household income audiences across various investor behavior subsets. We saw success on initial campaigns. Back then it was on platforms like Fundable, Crowdfunder, Flash Funders. I was told about Reg CF, regulation crowdfunding, and that it was not a matter of if, but when, and how we were going to be able to reach retail, non-accredited investors, virtually any adult for these initiatives. And we were brought in for the first campaigns. We had advertising live back in May 2016, day one of Reg CF. To date, I've worked on over 350 equity crowdfunding campaigns alone. Started working on Regulation A campaigns later that year as well too. Reg CF currently allows for up to $5 million in capital from both accredited and unaccredited investors. Regulation A allows for up to $75 million based on your offering statement to both of those audiences. We still work on Regulation D campaigns, which are accredited investor only. Sometimes those are side by side with the Reg CF or another initiative. I've also had the opportunity to work with various types of private equity groups and bringing in investors into their funds or individual opportunities, whether it's in digital assets or real estate, other types of emerging tech. Jonathan, I know we crossed paths around cryptocurrency newswire and Web3 conferences. So we've also had the chance to work on digital asset crowd sales. We've worked with digital asset exchanges. Those have been some of our largest clients to date. We'll measure the cost per install as well as the cost per funded account for clients. And if we're seeing a good rate of return there, being able to scale things up and increase basically anywhere we're targeting investors and bringing them down marketing funnels, we've been able to shine.
Incredible.
So should also mention, I mentioned the podcast. I have a podcast called Test Optimize Scale. Well over 100 episodes out. Again, don't miss Jonathan's episode. And I'm a writer for the Forbes Agency Council. We are recently acknowledged by the Inc. Fastest 5,000 Growing Companies in the U.S. Good ranking on there. And regularly speak at physical and digital conferences. Want to be an open book and show exactly what we see working, not working in the world of investor marketing.
Yeah, and obviously rubbing shoulders with so many different people and hearing other speakers, including your competitors, talk about things. You really have your finger on the pulse. What are some of the biggest challenges businesses face today in digital marketing?
Where do we start? So first of all, digital, you always need to be several steps ahead. There are always new channels to test out, those that you can be at the forefront of. There are the new proven tactics that you can be rolling out that are a bit more tested, but you'll still be one of the first groups in your space to be marketing on. You have the historical channels, and it's funny to say historical and digital, some of those are only a few years old, but you have the platforms that you've already tested out. So determining where to focus efforts is always part of the conversation, and adapting with marketplace conditions. So on our investor marketing campaigns, that includes the actual stock market and state of cryptocurrency, and being able to shift with that and with digital channels, audiences, messaging, funnels, we're taking them down, what have you. Attribution is actually the first thing that comes to mind for me, though, when you bring up that question. Late April 2021, Apple implemented in its iOS 14.5 update and later updates the demand for mobile developers, mobile apps, to obtain approval to track those users off app. So what does that mean for advertising? What does that mean for, let's say, Facebook, Meta, Facebook, Instagram, and advertising performance? It means that if a user is not giving Facebook the permission to track them off app, it does not show up in advertising performance when they make a purchase, when they download, when they make an investment. So there was a study, it's under 5% of users who actually give permission to Meta. That's then combined with desktop, laptop, Android, non-iOS users, and project that we get about a third of the conversion activity tracked with the Pixel. There are tools to be able to see a lift on that on your own site. Many of our campaigns are listed on FINRA-regulated portals, and therefore there's limitations for what pixels we can place on there. So we have a bit more of a shadow, not completely operating in the dark, but on the analytics, and therefore have to make sense of where traffic's coming from and how to optimize. This is not just to take credit for performance, not into vanity metrics and, oh, we were able to produce this much and it's all us. I mean, we're working on behalf of clients, working on behalf of founders. I really give them all of the credit, but it's to be able to find pockets of performance to be able to optimize towards. It's much more difficult today to determine where you're getting conversions from and to be able to optimize towards that and do more of it. Again, with a third coming through, a lot to work off of, reporting campaign wide, projecting that, it's probably three times as many individuals, you know, buying, investing, submitting themselves as a lead or downloading a software definitely helps. But attribution, as well as staying on top of current trends among fierce competition. You're competing against everyone in your vertical, and your vertical is probably growing, whomever you are listening. You're also competing against all of these other verticals that are targeting the same audiences as you.
Makes sense. And what are some key trends people should keep in mind when raising funds in 2024?
Market conditions matter, but are not a deterrent. So we work with microcap publicly traded companies, groups under around 300 million in their valuation. We work with early stage startups that are doing a regulation crowdfund campaign and raising $1 million. They have to do an additional filing to go past 1.235 on their Reg CF. So, you know, they start there and then go up to 5 million. And I've seen groups that I thought were just going to have a slam dunk in a quick period of time run into slowdowns around performance. I've seen groups that I really questioned. There was no existing audience, pre-revenue, even worked on pre-product, and have seen rounds cap out and do so quickly. This is true for all of digital marketing at that, not just investor-focused initiatives. And I do a study every Monday morning on a platform called King's Crowd on Reg CF. I also look at the public markets, want to see what's happening in micro and small cap. But on Reg CF, I could tell you the top 10% of campaigns, the top 10% of fundraisers are moving. And the bottom 50% are stagnant. Just as an example, in the month of November on Reg CF, that was about 135 grand, the top 10% raised or more, with some campaigns raising the full 5 million that month alone, or close to it, top 10, you know, half a million or more for the month, the bottom 50% under $6,700 for the month. So that can be, you know, a result of the market conditions. We could talk about where things are, but what I'm trying to highlight is things are moving. And it's a matter of studying which groups are and how, and being able to implement that into your campaign. So I've heard a lot of different things, a lot of speculation around 2024. Second half of the year, everything's going to be great. You know, interest rates going down, it's going to put more confidence in the market, all these things that are part of the aftermath of COVID, and, you know, those economic times are going to stable out. Second half is going to be awesome. I've also seen, you know, the YouTube videos, the headline articles that we're expecting this massive crash and bigger than ever before. But I saw the same content last year talking about 2023, and I'm not a fan of having my hands tied to a narrative from people who are also speculating, and if you look at their record, are often wrong. And it's not to discount them at all. They're financial experts. They're better analysts than me on the markets and the space, as much as to say, hey, as a marketer, you need to figure out how to operate no matter what's showing up on those tickers. And being able to put together an in-depth marketing strategy, talking about who you're reaching among competition, channels, the touch points, the messaging, the metrics you're looking to hit, you can operate through this. You can, you know, ride the wave if it lifts. You can be one of the few groups that perform if it does not.
Yeah, and one of the things I often say is you're always building a foundation. So not to have any activity at all and then jump in quickly when everybody else is jumping in, you're not going to have the same kind of results if you're being that steady Eddie out there, establishing, you know, that firm foundation, great track record. People know you're not just trying to flash in whatever pan is most exciting. So.
And time in the market, a wise man once said, is more important than timing the market. So being able to say, yeah, you know, once it picks back up, usually doesn't work for people as much as, hey, been investing in, you know, Bitcoin each month since November 2022, and here's what it's done as it's been picking up. in November, December 2023 here. Here's where it's going in 2024 versus scrambling and, you know, trying to see yourself in a good position.
Yeah, and it's not a straight line either. It's not like there's a bounce. Every time there is that rebound, you know, is this the one that's going to last, or is it another, you know, just short term looks good and then we're back on the downtrend? Definitely staying active is important. And how do you ensure your strategies are consistently outperforming competitors of yours that are also helping fundraise?
Sure. Good question. As you can tell, I do a lot of research. I looking at the, you know, the markets every Monday. And when I do, I'm highlighting at least one campaign that we do a competitor marketing audit on. This is part of our onboarding, part of our strategy for a client. I built a model called the 8-point plan. I've written about it in Forbes, like workshops on this. I talk about it a lot. And section two, after you do an industry overview, is the competitor marketing audit. So when I talk about that, it's not just, hey, what does another brand do? Or even what does their offering consist of? It's really about how they're marketing. So who's talking about them in the news? Who's talking about them on social media? What events are they speaking at? What digital presentations are they a part of? What are they running on social media for their organic content? What are they running as advertising? There's tools for all of this. Facebook gives you a tool of ad library, and you could go in and see the exact ads that are live or launched in the past few months. What are they doing on search engines? What are they ranking for organically? What are they paying for in terms of Google ad search keywords? What are the top traffic links that are driving to their page? You can see all this. You could get a guesstimate of their site traffic and even breakdowns of which audiences that consists of. And there's platforms to look at their email newsletters. Otherwise, sign up for their email. I want to understand exactly how they're obtaining market share. So if I'm blind to what they're doing for marketing, I'm really just, you know, going off my own guess, my own perception of why they are where they are, and likely labeling it around their product or their offering, share price, valuation, whatever it may be, where if I'm able to use this knowledge towards it, I'm able to stand on their shoulders towards success. And I don't have to do the same thing, but I can pull pieces from it. I could look to do it in a better way. And that's been a huge piece of our, you know, strategy. And I think with the excess of marketing channels that are out there today, there's excess of vendors, and many of them are vertical specific. So if you talk to a group that just works on paid media or just works on PR or just works on SEO, they're going to tell you what to do for those channels and the tactics around it. Maybe build a strategy, but around that focus, where you really need to be looking at the full thing and determining what those other groups are doing, then mapping out, you know, your audiences, your channels, messaging that's going there, strategic partners that can help accelerate it, and the projections that it's going to produce. But really that, you know, high level overview before you dive into any specific tactic. The other thing that I'll mention is it's all in the audience. So we've gone to great lengths to perform data mining and build data partnerships that allow us to reach high net worth individuals that are highly active online. We can upload that for advertising targeting. I know that I have an advantage over other agencies or in-house buyers as a result. Group wants to put their marketing team towards it. Hey, let us at least run campaigns alongside you. And I'm fairly confident we're gonna, you know, at least be of value, if not directly outperform them. You know, and same with other agencies, and with respect to them, it's not to say like, hey, we're the best. I mean, as a marketer, I'm always looking for what's working next. But that's how I'm able to, you know, approach these campaigns with the, you know, ad tech background, doing this for the biggest businesses in the world, but being able to use it for, in many cases, earlier stage organizations, you know, from startup to, you know, small cap. towards actively engaging and converting investors for them.
Fascinating. And what are some of the best platforms to engage with when they're doing a content marketing strategy?
Okay. So for content marketing, different from paid, getting featured in a financial email newsletter is a big deal. Getting featured regularly across your content strategy is even more important, meaning you want to add to the story. Stagnant campaigns produce stagnant results. So, you know, each week you want to have a new headline worthy announcement and be talking about it across your own content channels. So email, social media, long form content. I recommend this, you know, at least three posts on at least three channels per week pertaining to your raise, your momentum. Weekly email newsletter at a minimum, talking about everything that's going on, as well as email drip systems. I look for one for prospective investors and one for completed investors. On these Reg CF campaigns, I'll see them participate multiple times. 20 to 30% of investors participate multiple times on those. Tougher to track on the you know, micro cap and small cap, but even more the reason on why you want to be driving traffic to any email sign up, likely with the lead magnet with it, CEO, webinar, town hall, piece of content, written checklists, workshop, what have you, but something that we were able to continue to nurture these audiences and measure something about their activity. And then long form content, was kind of touching on it there, but you know, monthly webinar at a minimum, you can have an industry leader sitting there with you to validate the deal. People don't believe what they see online. You want to showcase as much social proof, as much third-party validation as possible. Could be a, you know, a lead investor, partner, what have you. Bi-weekly article and some video clips. People invest in people. And if we're on an offering page, a weekly offering page update, talking about the news, talking about the momentum. Now, you can be looking past your channels, particularly with PR, and saying, hey, how do I get tech publishers to talk about this? You know, startup, business, growth publishers, mention those financial email newsletters. Some of them are paid to pay to be featured. The better ones are tougher to get featured by, and the investors actually pay. So you have to be selected. It could take months to be set up and scheduled into. But as those investors are paying for the intel, the alpha, they're going to be more active on what you're doing. And you know, you should see a spike in investments if you get featured. And then, you know, there's the whole world of different websites, apps, YouTube channels, podcasts that you should look to be featured on and have a trail. So you're doing something new, positioned as a thought leader every week, as many places as you can be.
Wow, so many great tips. I'm sure people will need to get out their pen and re-listen to that part of the segment. Just kind of moving on, you mentioned having over 100 podcast episodes. That means you've had dozens of guests. So other than me, who have been some of your favorite guests?
Put me on the spot there. They have all been my favorite guests. No, I started with friends and people in the space. So my first episode was with Ryan Folan, four-time TEDx speaker. He has something called the 313 method, where you break what you do down into three sentences, which is actually very difficult, then into one sentence, then into three words, and you know, talks about the power around that. I've had close friends in the crypto space that I've been to conferences all around the world with. I've had PR firms, SEO firms, AI companies. Have had, you know, various types of you know, cryptocurrency influencers, CEOs, clients, Google executives. Some of the analytic platforms I've already mentioned have been on there. Some of the equity crowdfunding platforms have been on there. Have had you know, cryptocurrency experts of some of the largest, you know, organizations in the space on. I've had crowdfunding experts, creative directors, those financial emails I was telling you about. I've had some of the analysts on and talking about what they look for directly. Clients, successful campaigns, talking about what's worked best for them. I've had lawyers, I've had accountants, anywhere where we can give value to listeners, to viewers, about what can accelerate their growth. I've had growth hackers on. I've had some of the top media buyers in the world.
Amazing.
You know, high level type discussions. I'm on a lot of those panels. I point at them, but I'm also a part of, you know, those panels quite a bit. Recently, I've had some different guests in blockchain real estate. I've had guests in AI, some of the AI conversations. They feel like they go beyond a business chat. I feel like I'm on an episode of Joe Rogan or something. You know, CEO, founder of Splinterlands has been on there, and you know, other types of Web3 founders. So really, really across the board, excited about first, you know, some of the episodes coming out as well too. Have to remember what's been published and what hasn't, of course. But you know, whether the groups we work directly with in the space, whether it's podcast bookers that reach out to me and suggest, you know, high level CEOs that they bring on, or people I meet at conferences, people I would like to get on and reach out to. I've had a lot of fun doing it. You know, I've had competitors on, I've had, you know, some of the top marketing agencies inside and outside of our space, just trying to get the, you know, the right insights to the audience in terms of what they could test, how they could optimize, and any tips towards scale.
Wow. So I have been to your website, and of course they're featured on there. I'd highly recommend for our listeners to go there and scroll through and pick out a few favorites. And a lot of what's been shared is really timeless. Even re-listening to my own, you know, a lot of those same principles still hold true. And of course, those are the easiest ones to follow because, you know, the market is going to shift on you, you know, 3 months after you finally got a good hold on it. But are there any new projects or initiatives that you're working on for next year?
Yeah. So November, December have been busy for us. We've been activating campaigns. One that gives us permission to talk about and actually just went live today and should be live when this is up. If not, you should be able to look at a successful campaign there as it's already had a strong first day, is Mayweather Boxing and Fitness. It's actually the holding company that represents Mayweather Boxing and Fitness, as well as Floyd's licensing deals, apparel products, various types of supplements and products. And you know, individuals like Floyd, they understand equity crowdfunding is really a democratization of early stage capital. And he's really promoting a platform called Republic. And as part of that ambassadorship is saying, hey, you could partner with me. You could invest alongside me. There's a series of other campaigns we're working on that also you know, utilize that aspect of this vehicle. And that's a big reason of why I'm part of it. So it's a campaign we're very proud to be working on. Other exciting things to come in the world of Web3. I have some campaigns that have done very well this year that are in talks to relaunch next year. And, you know, only so much I could share about each. One of the top campaigns of last week, some of the top in November, October. There's always something we're working on that I could point to. And I want to tell you what they're doing next year, but I do have limitations around it.
Sure. Well, of course, people could follow you on your Twitter or other methods. Any suggestions there?
LinkedIn. Yeah, LinkedIn and my company's DNA profiles across Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, any of those show real-time highlights. My YouTube channel, have a strong amount of subscribers there, and you can see every episode of Test Optimize Scale, as well as our monthly webinars, and create a new deck, new presentation every month. The webinars are with internal team members. Every episode of the podcast has an external guest. So, you know, well over 135 as of today, and more to come.
Awesome. Well, I definitely don't want to miss anything. Are there any final thoughts you'd like to share with the audience?
Do more. When it comes to digital, more is more. You know, if I look at a Reg CF campaign, every 50,000 visitors you get, if it's converting, would be $1 million in investments. If you're seeing a 2% conversion rate, and those 1,000 investors off the 50,000 visitors participate at $1,000 average. If it's a Regulation A campaign, maybe it's 2.2 million based on a $2,200 average investor. But as you could see, you need a lot of traffic to make this stuff happen. And the more momentum you have, the more investable you are. You get that line around the block feeling from the audience as they look at all of the momentum and activity that you have. Otherwise, you have an empty restaurant sensation. This is social dynamics at play. So don't just dip your toe in the water. Don't just go live and, you know, see what happens. Have a well-prepared, algorithmic marketing strategy ready to roll out, consisting of a content marketing funnel and traffic sources, including advertising and outreach. Make sure you're using folks like the Investor Brand Network. Have validation, you know, whether it's from syndication, individual write-ups, all different ways to, you know, put press releases out there that actually warrant a response from journalists, especially if you're putting out different types of focus groups and data and studies and research that can later be quoted. You want to figure out how to use every one of these marketing tools versus whether it will work for you, whether you should use it or not. You know, the same is true with cryptocurrency. The same is true with microcap. You wouldn't believe how many CEOs of publicly traded companies I speak to that do not have a business to investor marketing strategy. Meanwhile, they're looking at their share price every day. And they're looking at their, you know, trading volume. I mean, there's so much that can be utilized here. And then absolutely for cryptocurrency as well. I mean, this isn't 2017 where you just list a campaign and it would, you know, sell out an hour later. It requires far more trust today. And content is a great way to show your alignments, to provide education, to act as a thought leader. I mean, you're trying to compete in a space where the leaders have, you know, multi-billion-dollar market caps, you know, in their early stages. You need to be acting at the same level to be in the same arena as them. So marketing's often an afterthought. I hope I'm giving you some good ideas here, making the gears move, at least letting you identify that you need to put time and efforts towards this. And whether that's an agency like mine, whether that's a consultant, whether that's the internal team members, whatever's the best fit for you towards your goal. I would have external groups. Otherwise, you tend to find yourself in an echo chamber. That's why the biggest groups in the world all have agencies and, you know, these other resources in play. But don't let marketing come last. Definitely put together you know, that full approach to be able to hit your goals. Know exactly how you're going to get there. Don't just see what happens. It's an aggressive business world out there. Marketing is at the forefront, and position yourself for greatness.
Excellent advice, as always. And thanks again for joining us, Jason. As I mentioned earlier, you know, our team has always enjoyed every opportunity to work alongside of yours, you know, over the years. And we're very excited to do more together in 2024 and beyond.
Likewise, I echo that right back at you, Jonathan. You are a true professional and expert in the space, and we enjoy working with you and your team.
The God's Talks podcast is an original content production powered by IBN, a multifaceted financial news and publishing company that delivers next-generation corporate communication solutions. Utilizing proprietary corporate communication tools such as news aggregation and syndication, social communication, and brand awareness techniques, among others, IBN introduces both public and private companies to diverse audiences to enhance reach and recognition. IBN may receive compensation for services and solutions provided to its client partners. You should assume that the owners, officers, and directors of IBN or financial analysts mentioned in this production may hold a position in and may intend to trade the securities in their own accounts. This production is not an offer or recommendation to buy or sell any securities that may be mentioned in this production. The information in this broadcast is presented solely for informative purposes and is not intended to be or should it be construed as investment advice. As in all investments, investment in the featured companies carries inherent investment risk. Listeners should review the companies thoroughly with a registered investment advisor or registered stockbroker. This production by IBN is not purported to be a complete study of the featured company or other companies mentioned. Information used in statements of fact have been obtained from featured companies and other sources but not verified nor guaranteed by IBN as to completeness and accuracy. Such information is subject to change without notice. Please see IBN's full disclaimers and disclosures at www.ibn.fm/disclaimer. Music in this episode is by Infraction. For more, visit inaudio.org.